I would like to welcome all of you again as we are continuing in our Finding Faith on Film sermon series. I've shared before that I've been doing a movie-based sermon series every year since I came here at Morrisville, and I do it for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is I think good movies can provide some contemporary illustrations of the timeless truths that we find in Scripture. Another reason I do it is because I think movie-based series make it easy for us to invite friends and family to come join us in worship. If we've seen a movie together, it's easy to say, well, hey, we're going to be talking about that in church this week. Why don't we hear what we might be able to learn from that particular film? And then I do it because I just think it's a fun way to share the gospel. And it gives me an excuse to watch movies with my family, which is also a good thing, too. So today we're going to be taking a look at the movie that's called Hidden Figures. And it is a movie that touches on themes of racial discrimination and gender discrimination. But it is also a movie that I think offers a very good word that reminds us that when everybody's gifts are able to be used, we can accomplish some amazing things. And so we're going to look at the movie Hidden Figures today. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. The movie Hidden Figures came out in the year 2016, and it does a good job, I think, of lifting up some of the challenges that people, particularly women, and particularly women of color, experienced in the workplace in the 1950s and 60s. It details what happens in a nation that was still segregated racially, and in a nation that was not always very comfortable with women serving in prominent roles in the workplace. And it is a historically based story that takes place in NASA at their Langley Space Center. Now, I will say it's a Hollywood production, so Hollywood takes a few liberties in telling the story, and they compress basically a decade's worth of experiences into a two-hour film. So, and they put in some entertainment elements as well. But I think it does a great job of sharing the story of three women. And I want to share one of the trailers of the film to kind of give us an idea of a synopsis of the story. So Steve, if you could play the video clip, please. So in the video clip, we see the three main characters who are part of the movie, and you can see their images up there. The first is the woman to the far right of the picture up there. Her name was Dorothy Vaughan. She actually began working for the agency that was NASA's predecessor. It was called the NACA. And she started working there during World War II. And she became the first African-American female supervisor at NASA in the year 1948. It was a pretty amazing accomplishment. She then became a computer programmer for NASA. And she had started out, all three of them actually, started out as what they called computers, which when I hear the word computer, I think of a machine. But in the early days of NASA, computers were human beings who tackled very complex mathematical formulas to try and determine engineering features and rocket trajectories and rocket landing patterns. And so they performed these amazingly complex calculations. And she was the supervisor over these human computers. The next person is on the left end, and her name was Mary Jackson. She was hired to work at NASA in 1951. And you saw a clip in that trailer where she's actually working with a man who was a Polish survivor of the Holocaust. And his name was Kazimierz Czarnecki. And he challenged her to become an engineer herself because she had a gift for being one. But in order to become an engineer, she needed to take some graduate-level classes to complete that degree. And the only place the classes were offered in that particular area was in the evenings at Hampton High School. This was in Hampton, Virginia. But Hampton High School was a segregated school at the time. And so she had to petition the city in order to be allowed to take classes with her white peers. The city granted that petition, and in 1958, she became the first female African-American engineer at NASA. Pretty amazing achievement, isn't it? The third person is the woman in the middle, and her name was Katherine Johnson. She was hired to work as a human computer at NASA in 1953, and she served there over 30 years and was involved in almost every launch that NASA had in that 30-year period. And NASA provided a brief documentary about her life, and we're going to share that now, if you can play it, Steve. She's a remarkable woman, and it is a remarkable story. And I am so grateful for not only the three women who are featured in this movie, but for all of those who shared their gifts and their knowledge and their abilities, even in times and places when it was challenging for them to do so. It seems to me that sometimes the way of the world is to divide us and to label us and to put us in categories that may not necessarily be helpful to us. But in the scripture lesson that Jenny shared with us this morning, we are reminded that the ways of the world are ways that God sees as being foolish. The lesson Jenny read said, "But if God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the ones that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." See, as the world tries to divide us, God in Christ Jesus tries to unify us and to unite us. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, and I'm going to invite you to read it with me. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." See, I think the takeaway from the movie and the message of Scripture is that when we are divided and separated from one another, we all suffer. Certainly, the racial and gender discrimination that the characters in the movie experienced hurt them as individuals, but I think it was a broader hurt than that. I think society suffered as a result of it. And if they had not been allowed to share their gifts or talents, there's a good shot that John Glenn would not have been able to make his famous orbit when he did. And if you're of a certain age, right, if you're a woman of a certain age or a man of a certain age, you probably remember how intense our country was about the whole space race and trying to achieve significant milestones in that endeavor. And I think it's the fact that many people were able to share their gifts and their talents and their abilities that enabled us to do that. When we share those things together, we can accomplish some pretty amazing things. I had a wonderful experience whenever we were living in 29 Palms, California. We had a ministerial association there that was very, very active. And let me tell you, it was an incredibly diverse group of people. And they tell you there are two things you really shouldn't talk to people about, right? They are politics and religion. Well, we talked about politics and religion in that group, and we were not of the same mind on all sorts of areas. We had pastors who were in that organization who were very theologically conservative. We had pastors who were very theologically liberal. We had pastors who were politically conservative, pastors who were politically liberal. Father Ian was the pastor at the Episcopal Church. He was from New Zealand. I have never seen a person with as much ink on them as Father Ian had. And he had piercings all the way around his ears. He did not look like the typical Episcopal priest, but he was very active in that ministerial association. Al Perez was the leader of the Hispanic congregation in the community, Companions in Christ, and he was active in that organization. Kevin Brewer and Perry Ford were the pastors of the two largest African-American congregations in that community. They were both retired Marines, Marine officers, and so they had that sort of military bearing about them, which was very much in contrast with Father Ian. We had people from the Pentecostal tradition. We had people from the Roman Catholic Church. We had just this incredible variety of people. And we did not agree on a lot of things. But we shared our gifts together. And one of the things that that ministerial association decided to do was to provide a free meal every Saturday to anybody in the community that wanted to partake. And so every Saturday, we would get together and we served 300 people a hot meal each week. When Hurricane Katrina hit in New Orleans, and there were families that were in need of housing and shelter, that group of people got together and helped house and provide jobs and food and support for three different families that came from New Orleans. Not because we were all the same, but because we were different. And we were able to share our gifts, and that served to glorify God. When we are able, each of us, to use our gifts, we can accomplish some pretty amazing things. May God help us do just that. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for the many different gifts that you have given to each of us and for opportunities to share those gifts together in ways that will bring honor and glory to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.